Hello, and welcome to the Missouri Review Podcast. This is the second episode in our 2009 Audio Competition Winner Series. You can find the complete list of winners on our website, www.missourireview.com, where you can also listen to some of the winning entries from our 2007 and 2008 competitions. Right now, we'd like to present another one of our finalists, Rachel Yoder, and her submission, The Thing at the Foot of the Bed. Rachel Yoder has written for The New York Times, The Sun Magazine, Opium Magazine, Kenyon Review Online, and elsewhere. She is an arts fellow in the nonfiction writing program at the University of Iowa.
So this must have happened when I was around 17. I was startled awake. So I was lying there in my bed, in my bedroom. Immediately after I woke up, there was something down at the bottom of the bed, and it was pulling on my sheets. The thing was grabbing at my legs, and I couldn't move my legs, and I had this horrible fear that it was just going to pull me down under the bed with it. I was trying to fight it off. And finally, it goes away, and I'm just lying there in my bed, and I'm sweaty, and all of a sudden, it reaches back up, and it grabs one of my ankles, and I just give this swift kick, and it lets go. It disappears back under the bed, and then I immediately go back to sleep. You know, I'm talking to my dad, and I say, I had this really weird dream last night, and I thought something was trying to pull me under the bed, and I was awake. I thought I was awake, and I was just struggling with this thing at the foot of the bed. And he just gives me this weird look, and he says, "Oh no, I hope I didn't give that to you."
Well, I think that there's a medical explanation.
So why do we dream of our fears, we dream of our fantasies, whatever they are, but they're ours, and so they're going to reflect our fears, our fantasies. But you're talking to somebody who doesn't believe in ghosts.
My mother doesn't believe it's sleep paralysis. She thinks that it's spiritual visitors. She thinks I'm some sort of, like, spiritual medium now.
I think I see myself being flayed by the devil on the top of the university heliport.
And you're in the brain state of a paralyzed person. And this normally happens when you're going to sleep or waking up. Okay, these are the hypnagogic, hypnopompic hallucinations.
It's the most terrible, terrorizing presence you would ever want.
I mean, I never really thought it was a demon, like an actual demon.
She had gray hair, like short, curly hair. She had bad teeth. She was wearing a sweater. And she was shaking her finger at me.
He did relate to it as an angel. Yeah.
I'm flying around, and there I am coming back into my own body. Should I tell anybody? And usually they go, I'm going crazy. I just better leave this alone.
He proceeds to tell me this story about when he was young and how he fought with something
at
the
foot
of the
bed
and it pulled on his sheets and it
attempt
grabbed his
to
ankles.
Pull the covers. I get into this locked in position and I'm just totally paralyzed and perspiring and holding on to the covers with all my life. Then this would happen at times again. It took on a different form, the fight. It was just a fear of this person, you know, coming toward me. It was almost like a stalker, almost like a person who followed me and wanted to uncover me. And that kind of disturbed me, you know, that what was I hiding? Was I not being true to who I really was and so on? I decided I wanted to meet this person and this shadow, as I started calling it. And at one point, I came back to Ohio and came back home and slept in my bed. That pretty well put it to rest. Never really encountered him after that, after gave up on the fear. I think it's, you know, the human being, we're complex. I don't know how to explain it. You know, here I am 71 years old, and I still don't know quite what these experiences are.
when it first appeared, it was probably about midnight. It was probably about the size of a softball. And I ignored it, just convinced myself I was seeing things. And then I looked up, and it was gone. And it stayed gone for probably over an hour. But when it came back, it was brighter, blinking more brightly. And it really frightened me, so I jumped up out of bed, ran across the hallway into my mother's room, opened her door, was like shaking her to get her awake, and I could see back across the hallway into my room. And at that point, the ball was blinking so brightly I could see like the objects on my dresser. And by the time she woke up, you know, of course it had stopped. Since I grew up in Appalachia in a very rural setting, I thought it was space aliens.
I tell you, from its size and its appearance, this thing came from outer space. I even have reason to believe that some form of life in it.
Because, you know, I'd seen all the late night shows, and it's only hillbillies who get abducted by space aliens. People in Manhattan never see them.
What do you want? What are you doing? Let me see you as you really are.
You know, a while back, a decade or two ago, there was a popular thing involving alien abductions. And it turned out that when the people were actually examined who made these claims and claimed to be abducted while being tested, they were having it while they were going to sleep and while they were waking up, leading the authors of the study to conclude that alien abductions, or the claim of an alien abduction, was associated with a hypnagogic or hypnopompic hallucination. And so it reflects the fears of the time.
If they are messages from God, I don't know what he's trying to say, and I think that he's terribly inarticulate.
I do think it's a metaphorical demon. I think I'm a lot like my father.
Maybe he suggested it to you once. Maybe he told you about it once and you forgot about it, and then it came out, you know, in a dream.
It's more fun to think that it's supernatural, you know, and who does it hurt? No one. I mean, it's great.
I don't know. You know, I'm kind of a skeptic.
I believe there's God in heaven. I don't know about religion so much, but and God's not that simple. But what I translate is when you see something and you get cookies and you go, oh, it's the reason for being. Was it worth being here? Because I don't know what the answers are.
So if you're afraid of pigs with red eyes, you're going to dream of pigs with red eyes. If you've watched a horror movie that involves somebody sitting on your bed and scaring the hell out of you, then that's what you're going to dream about.
I'd been drinking heavily the day before and was tired.
And that's always the problem, you know, with human research when it's like this, is that it's introspection. It requires you to say something about what you are feeling or doing, but nobody has the ability to independently confirm it.
Now, there was a recent paper from South Africa, a nursing journal, and they did a scientific analysis of, and review of the paper of sleep paralysis, and they decided this was due to demon possession.
If he's just trying to frighten me, then I think I want to change allegiances. I'm not going to be invested in that God anymore. That would make him kind of a jerk.
I do believe in the presence of spirit, of God's spirit, the good spirit in the world and in our lives. Yes. You know, I do think that's real.
They'd be up all night doing EEGs, and all their smart scientific buddies would then take the bus system, go to the coffee shops in the early morning, smoke their cigarettes, drink their coffee, and then just glow. And oh, and the brain waves. They think it's generated from the thalamus, and if the reticular nucleus was only like this.
The main visitation for dead was in 1950. The rest of the family members will agree to this story. It's been related often. It was on a summer evening in early July, perhaps even the end of June, when we were at the supper table, a large family were eating, and Dad told us about a vision he had a night or two before, when he was up late by himself and he was standing in the hallway. There was a presence in the hallway with him, and it was a very calming and an assuring presence, but it was also ominous in that he knew something was going to happen to somebody in the family. He related that, and we were all still and looked at each other and sort of wondered what's going on. But we distinctly remembered that then when the following week, when John Jr. had an accident playing baseball. He had a bleeding disease, a hemophiliac, and bumped his head, and they could not stop the bleeding, and he died within about 2 days. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Missouri Review podcast. You can find out more about the Missouri Review at our website, www.missourireview.com, where you can leave comments on our blog, check out our poem of the week, and discover all kinds of other great content from our authors. Thanks for listening.